This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Look out, a railroad work stoppage could start on Friday and will cost the U.S. economy at least $2 billion a day, and it will hit all of us no matter where you live. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, sorry to start with such negative news, but this is a biggie, folks, and it absolutely is what this show is about, what affects you and what affects me no matter where we live. Near a beach, in the mountains, tucked away in your own little hamlet, you gotta eat. You're probably going to the store. What are you going to do when the prices go up, 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 and triple? So the Prez has talked to two of the railroad unions and railroad companies to prevent this strike. The thought is that, listen, if this happens, this dispute with about a dozen unions representing the workers of some big national railroads like BNSF, you might have heard of them, Union Pacific, I know you heard of them, Norfolk Southern, CSX, that's just a handful of them, right? They're trying to work this out. But if they don't work it out, the primary issue is about attendance policies, because workers say they're being used to terminate and discipline railroad crews for taking off for absences because of medical appointments and bereavement. They've got to go to funerals, etc. The railroads claim that workers have been calling out too often to enjoy long weekends, sporting events, and concerts, and that new points-based attendance policies that they've imposed are necessary because they got to maintain service for the customers. Last month, the board recommended that the union employees be given a 24% pay raise, but rejected the union's arguments about the attendance policies. Most of the unions agreed with the recommendations and have reached settlements along the lines, but two of the biggest have not done that. And they've released statements saying, look, nope, members are getting terminated for getting sick or for going for routine medical visits as we crawl our way out of a worldwide pandemic. This was a statement that was released by the union. It said no working class American should be treated with this level of harassment in the workplace for simply becoming ill or going to a routine medical visit. The workers don't get sick pay, but longtime employees get up to 5 weeks vacation and 14 paid holidays. So Friday is the day. The companies could lock the workers out even before the strike is called, though. The unions say one reason they would do that would be to highlight the pain the issue is causing the country, because they're saying that the shutdown would cost $2 billion a day. Now, in 1982 and 1986, Congress ended railroad strikes. They could do that. Both houses could pass it, and the president would sign a joint resolution, and that would be imposing the Presidential Emergency Board's recommendations, which they agree on. So this could be something that happens or not. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce is begging Congress to stand by and be ready to intervene if they have to. So this is pretty dicey. And from what I hear, they want to go through with it. But if they do, we are all going to pay the price for it, right? And you think of the points, and you think of that system, and you think of people who are not happy, you know, with that. And it affects people, this strike, for example. Here's an example. Amtrak on Monday said they canceled three long-distance train routes in advance because of the strike. So, you know, what does that mean? They canceled Tuesday's departure for the Western U.S. Empire Builder, California's Zephyr, and some of the Southwest routes. And they were adjusting as they could. a lot of travel in the northeast quarter area, branch lines to Albany, New York, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Springfield, Mass, wouldn't be affected by the strike, but they have to watch and see how long that all continues. It's going to be an economic disaster and affects you and I because of the flow of goods. What's basically you're looking at is it would freeze the flow of goods, which means shelves would be empty, which would raise prices for families and for businesses. That's where you get your $2 billion a day. So will they settle? Will they figure this out by Friday? Keep your fingers crossed, because we absolutely will feel this. And do the workers have a right to complain about being stuck under a points system? Can you imagine? And this goes to, you know how this can happen. There may be some people that take advantage, but then it's the people who need it that get messed up in the meantime, because they're just playing by the rules and they should normally not have a problem with it. But because of some of the other people, they're having a problem with it. So there you go. I think this is big. Artemis is big because many of you have asked me what's going on with Artemis, and I'm really surprised, which means you are following this whole trip to the moon thing. So NASA now has said Artemis going to the moon, the rocket, it will be pushed to September 27th. They were targeting the 23rd. They always have backup dates, right? Because they have an issue with the rocket. It sprung a leak, basically, as it was being fueled up with that super chilled liquid hydrogen. Imagine if they had astronauts on board, which, of course, it still would have been scrubbed. But they're working on testing the system that fuels the liquid hydrogen, and that's a big part of this whole thing, as to whether or not it goes up and all systems are go whatever day they end up picking. It's interesting because the launch window is like 70 minutes long, and it's shorter than the last one that was available. But if they have to keep it on the launch pad, they keep it on the launch pad because it doesn't make any sense to launch knowing it could be iffy. No humans on board, but you would be talking about a lot of cash they would be wasting if they put it up there knowing, this is a coin flip. What do you think? This is a coin flip. Yeah, there's no coin flip in this one. It's got to be all or nothing, the best that you could possibly, you know, best that you could possibly foresee. And anyway, I talked about the strike at the top of this and what that means, the rail strike. Nurses, in the meantime, are striking in Minnesota. Very big health systems. It's day one. They're expected to be out 3 days. This is over hours, money, short staff. All of that comes into play. And I'm not surprised because of the burden on nurses throughout this whole pandemic, how rough it's been and how much work so many had to absorb and put themselves right there on the front line. So the nurses, thousands of them, are picketing in Minnesota to have their needs met. And we'll see what the union decides and if there's an agreement there with the health.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Are you watching your retirement savings melt away right in front of your eyes as the economy crumbles? Well, if you have an IRA, 401k, or similar account, I need to tell you about a better way that was revealed by a Wall Street Journal best-selling book. Simply put, you can opt out of the insanity and convert your existing retirement account into the most stable physical asset in history, physical gold and silver. Plus, this conversion might qualify you for an IRS loophole that could save you even more. Today, Advantage Gold is giving away a completely free audiobook version of the national bestseller, Gold is a Better Way. Just text the word better to 48542 to get your copy. That's BETTER to 48542. By the time you drive home, this simple step may save the future value of your retirement. It's not too late if you're not prepared. You can take action now and claim a free copy. Text the word better to 48542. That's BETTER to 48542. Message and data rates may apply.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113, drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Alien Apocalypse, where do they come from and why are they here? All good questions, right? The book is fascinating because you know how I'm interested in all of these things, in pulling all of that together and what does that mean? There are lots of questions. Frank, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
So in your book, you talk about why there are aliens, why there are extraterrestrials. You talk about where they come from. You talk about all kinds of things in this. What made you decide to write this book? What was the motivation?
Well, I keep thinking about it, and I think it's because of the missing time that I went through.
Where you couldn't explain some time that you missed?
Well, I went and tried to recreate the same travel time and everything, and I can get from Los Angeles to Camp Pendleton, and then from Camp Pendleton to San Diego, there's an hour and a half missing, and I kind of know what happened there. But I think after that, that's when I started having this, thoughts about writing a book.
So tell us what the book's about. What will we find out in the book?
Well, why the aliens are called aliens and why their extraterrestrials are called extraterrestrials and how they came about. In the Bible, it explains how the extraterrestrials, which are really Nephilians, are created by the angels and the women, human women, and those are the extraterrestrials. And we call them extraterrestrials, but really they're Nephilians.
And do you think a lot of people understand that, or no, they don't? I think a lot of people don't understand that.
No, they don't.
About.
No, they think that extraterrestrials are creatures from another planet or from another galaxy, and they came here, and, well, they're not. in the book, it goes in details of where they came from and how they built it and created communities. And the aliens, which are the angels, are starting to care for them. And they went from being on Earth, which in the Bible, God says that they're not going to be able to. And so then they need to go someplace, and they go either underwater or they go to the moon, which is where they are now.
When you wrote this book, what do people around you say? What have they said about the book?
Nobody really knew I was writing a book. I mean, my son was the only one that knew I was writing. He was the one that, he kept looking at me and wondering, what are you doing? I said, I'm putting a book together, I keep coming up with these thoughts, and I keep putting them down, and I said, oh, okay. And, as a matter of fact, I was talking to someone else, and I was just realizing that it took me 17 years to go from missing time, till the time I published the book.
Wow. From really wondering about this missing time to then actually publishing it. Was it kind of cathartic? Did it feel good to write the book?
Yes. I felt that after I had written it all down, and then I read it, and I said, wow, that's exactly what I was thinking about. So.
Right, so that's the power of the book, putting down what's rattling around in your head. What do you hope people take away from reading, which they can get on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, The Alien Apocalypse, Where Do They Come From and Why Are They Here? What do you hope somebody takes away from reading your book?
An understanding of really what the aliens are here for. They're not here to hurt anybody. They're not here to do anything, that all these other people have said, they're here to take us over or colonize us or whatever. They're not here. They're here to survive. They're humans. They have humans. And they're trying to, like I said, now they live on the moon. They have their permanent station on the moon. As a matter of fact, I was just hearing the other day that a rocket that was going to be going to the moon had mechanical problems, and it never left.
Artemis,
yeah. And like I said before, that, and in the book I said that they're not going to be going to the moon anymore. Nobody is. The moon is extraterrestrial, and they got their. On the other side, on the back side of the moon, they have the whole thing built up, and that's where they are.
And what do you base some of what you found out on? Just research you've done through the Bible, etc.?
Well, that's probably because of the missing time that I kept thinking. I kept running. Like I said before, I never really was a Bible reader. I mean, I'd look at it once in a while, but most of the time I was just flipping pages, and all of a sudden, I'd stop, and I'd, wow, that's what I was thinking about. And I was wondering where this came from, and there it was in the Bible.
Wow. So it's interesting in looking at those questions for sure. Will you write another book?
Everybody keeps asking me that, and I think maybe I need to do more explanations.
So go back and go deeper in deeper crevices.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that what I did is I quickly covered bases, but I didn't really go into detail. And maybe people still have questions of, could you explain this a little bit better? And I think I probably can.
Well, there you go. Now you have another project. And like I said, you can get this book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Frank Marin, thanks for coming on.
Okay. The only thing I wanted to bring up is that I had the book rewritten under the title Aliens extraterrestrials. And I think the alien apocalypse, the title is scares a lot of people. They think, well, that's the end of something, but it isn't. Apocalypse, I was trying to say revelations, you know, the alien revelations. But I think if they look at the book that I had rewritten, Aliens and Extraterrestrials, which is published by, where is it?
Well, that's okay. They can find it under that title is what you're saying.
Well, yes. The one that I'm talking about is called Frank Marin on the title, and the other one is just F. Marin.
All right, so look for that. So definitely that's how you look up the author for sure. Frank, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, a couple of minutes left in this segment. You know, it's interesting in talking about Elizabeth II's death. One of the offshoots of this is you look at the Caribbean to the Pacific, and now this push to address what happened in the past in some of these British colonies. So you had, for example, Jacinda Ardern, who is the Prime Minister of New Zealand, say she thought her country would most likely become a republic in her lifetime, that she didn't see it as a short-term measure or anything that is on the agenda, though, anytime soon. So the Australian government suspended Parliament for 2 weeks to commemorate Elizabeth II's death, and that also led to some blowback, politicians fearing the suspension would delay or maybe even hurt some of the reforms that were promised by the Prime Minister. So there's all this conversation as to now what happens. 14 former colonies retain the British sovereign as their head of state, to give you sort of a little background, context, whatever, about that. So the Prime Minister of Antigua and Barbuda, for example, they're going to hold a referendum on becoming a republic within 3 years. Barbados voted to remove the Queen as head of the state last year. Scotland, new debates about the future of independence there. You know, there are certainly people that are anti the monarchy. So now you got King Charles III, and we'll see. Hey, coming up next, perfect with the Emmys that just went through. Stephen Don, award-winning screenwriter, becomes a writer, writes a novel. He's done it all. Really fascinating guy. He's coming up next.
Hi, I'm your host, Smokey Colbert, filling in for Smokey, because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless, dumping our used barbecue coals willy-nilly. Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. That's why I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous or new car scented. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
The Justice Department signaling that it would accept former Chief Federal Judge Raymond Deary as the special master that would review what the Justice Department seized from former President Trump's Florida estate. The Washington Post reports the filing happened after Trump's legal team argued to keep a pause on any document review in place until a master is selected. Nurses and their bosses in Minnesota remain far apart on a new labor deal. 15,000 nurses walking the picket line for the next 3 days in what is believed to be the largest private sector nurses strike in American history. Ukrainian troops pushing the Russians all the way to the country's northeastern border, reclaiming areas the Kremlin had captured during the seven-month war. Legendary jazz pianist Ramsey Lewis has died at his Chicago home. He was 87. The major indexes on Wall Street gained on Monday. I'm Kenneth Burns, USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Take you to the UK for a conversation with Stephen Don. He has written a book called All Things Must Pass, a really intriguing novel. Stephen, thanks for jumping on.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
Tell me about the road to writing this book. How'd this come about?
Yeah, it's an interesting story. Back in about 2002 or so, I went to see this film called Identity, and it's actually still one of my favorite films. And I came away thinking I could write something about a really troubled guy, but he has like 6 or 7 identities. And so I wrote a section, about 10,000 words. And then I found that I just couldn't continue it, and the idea lapsed. And then in the intervening period, I'm an actor and a screenwriter, and I have done a lot of work writing screenplays, only a few of which have been made into films, but that's the movie business. But it gave me a discipline. And anyway, I got this one section, about 10,000 words. I got it printed by myself. And then I showed this little handbook to a couple of friends of mine, and they absolutely loved it. And one of them said, you know, it'd be great if you could develop that into a full-length novel. And now this is 2019, so 2020. So this is a good 15 years after I wrote that first section. And I hadn't thought about that, but it was their response that made me think, yeah, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and do that. And the discipline that I'd actually got from writing screenplays, you know, the important thing about screenplay is structure. You can't have scenes that go nowhere. You can't have dialogue that doesn't mean anything. So I wasn't afraid to sort of sit down at the white paper and carry the story on of Martin Wilson, this wild young man who lives in a fantasy world dominated by Bruce Lee, samurai warriors, swords, knives, I mean, he really is a mix-up kid and quite disturbed. And in fact, a friend of mine, his name is Nick, and he was the one who suggested I continue the story into a novel. He actually hated the character at the beginning, and it wasn't until a bit later that, as the story went on, that he saw that this character, Martin, was actually just living in his head. It was all fantasy, really. And what I wanted to do in the novel was to look at a young man and show his kind of development. I wanted to see, if you like, the real Martin Wilson struggling to come out, because I think that especially with young men, there's a great thing that you want to show that you're tough, you want to show that you're strong, you want to show that you're a man. And so, there's a great, I go to a gym and I see a lot of young guys sort of, posing and sort of, showing their pecs and their whatever, showing their muscles. And that's the front that a lot of men put up. And I wanted to sort of show that that there's a more sensitive and fragile person behind that front. I also wanted to to have a tale of redemption. I think that it's interesting to have a story that's full of violence and a violent image. It hooks the reader in, but in a way it lacks depth, and to get that depth you have to sort of show that someone is moving on in their lives as we move on in our lives. So it's a tale of redemption, and of course what he's redeemed by is love and suffering. And the title All Things Must Pass is actually like a mantra from Buddhism, and it comes from an encounter later on in the novel where Martin finds this down and out guy and he brings him in for a coffee, and the down and out guy turns out to be an old rock musician who has lost everything. His wife and kids died in a fire, and he sort of fell through the gaps in life. But he's actually not unhappy, and what he says to Martin as he goes out of the cafe and sort of waves goodbye to Martin, he says, "All things must pass. So you can grow and you can develop and you can overcome the difficulties in your life." Now, the novel is written in a first person interior monologue. That means I plunge the reader into the maelstrom of the fantasies and emotions that rage through this young man. And if I may, I'd like to read a short section from the first part of the novel, because this is where Martin is very, very angry. He's seen a beautiful samurai sword in an antique shop in Chelsea in London, but he is humiliated by the owners. And he wants to get revenge. So he imagines that he becomes a rhinoceros, and he calls one of the owners Bow Tie, because the guy has a bow tie, and the other he knows as Mr. Wilkins. And I'd just like to read this short section, because it gives you a real feel of the energy of the novel. And I'm going to put on a slightly different accent, because Martin, I think, is working class, and he's from London. So I'm going to sort of do my best to give you a kind of Adrian Brody sort of feel here. All right. So here we go. I get inside the skin of some weird animal, like a rhinoceros, with a great big horn sticking out of my forehead. I could do some damage with that, all right. Take that antique shop for a start. I'd stand snorting through my nostrils, glaring at the window display with its loveliest of swords. And then I'd begin to paw the ground with one of my front hoofs, sort of working myself up into the right mood for a charge. I can just imagine what old Bowtie would be saying over the counter to Wilkins. Mr. Wilkins, you'd say. I may have overdone it with the sherry at lunchtime, but unless my eyes have deceived me, there would appear to be a rhinoceros out in the street opposite our display window. I'm not so sure what Wilkins would say in response. In fact, I don't think he'd say anything at all, being a man of action of few words. He would move from the back of the shop to the display window, perhaps giving Bowtie a certain look as he draws level with him. Any exchange between them would be done with the eyebrows. But one thing is certain, that as soon as Wilkins looks out through the window, he sees me, and he recognizes the danger at once. And I feel on pretty safe ground when I say that he would say something to Bowtie at this juncture, along the lines, "Yes, that is a rhinoceros, and if I know my rhinoceroses, he looks to be in a bit of a mood." "A bit of a mood, Mr. Wilkins? Pray elucidate, do." But Wilkins is wiser than Bowtie, because he knows this is not the time to stand around and chat. So with no further ado, he turns on his heels and heads back into the murky gloom that is his habitual abode at the rear of the shop. "Whatever are you doing, Mr. Wilkins?" There is something in Bowtie's voice to suggest that an element of panic has overtaken him. But Mr. Wilkins is calm itself, and without looking back at Bowtie, he shouts over his shoulder, "I'm getting a gun, sir." "Ah, capital idea, Wilkins." "If I might make a suggestion, sir," says Wilkins, "I would remove my person from the vicinity of the window. But it is sage advice given too late, for I have started my run, and before I even smash into the plate glass of the display window, I have set things vibrating and shaking on shelves and counters. I have set the bell above the shop door jangling, all of which sets Bowtie quaking and roots him to the spot. And when I hit that display window, why, you'd swear a bomb had gone off."
Wow. I'm just thinking of that rhinoceros. You painted a wonderful picture and the reaction to it as well, which everybody will get if they read the book, All Things Must Pass, Stephen Don's book, of course, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. What do you hope people take away from reading your novel?
What will they take away from it? I suppose my target audience, if, although the two people, the two friends who read it, one was 80 and the other was about early 50s, but I think my target audience would be more it's from about 15 to 35. You know, it's not a young adult book, but I think it has a lot to say to people who themselves are developing. I think it's a sort of yes, you get hooked by the violence, but I think there's a lot of stuff there that that we all go through, that, you know, that we all have a mother, and for most of us, that mother dies before we die, and it causes us a lot of pain, and we get lost. And I think that that's the thing about this book, is that it shows a character who is lost. And I think that, you know, people will find some of it funny, maybe sometimes a bit unnerving, but I also think that they'll see themselves, you know, at times, maybe not so much in the way that the character is at the beginning, but in what happens to him and how he reflects on things. I think there's a lot there.
Well, it was wonderful to speak with you, Stephen Don. All Things Must Pass, as I said, you can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. It's been very nice. Thank you.
Feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
We go to the UK for a conversation with Rudo Savage. Her book, I think, is incredibly impactful, and I know there's people struggling out there, and I know there's people who love people who are struggling, and I think this book could really change that around. We talk a lot about mental illness. I call it mental disease because I think it's so prevalent, and I hate the stigma attached to it. It's a really big topic for me, as you know, on this show, so I am so thrilled to have her on. Her book is called The Words of the Lost Soul. Rudo, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here.
So take us to the moment when you decided, I need to tell my story. I need to get this out there. What was it that motivated you to write the book?
So I think I touched upon it in my book, but it was when I was leaving the hospital, I just kind of had an overwhelming message come to me that I needed to put this experience into words, which was very bizarre to me, as I'd never wrote a book before. I'd never planned to write a book. I loved reading, but it was never something I dreamed of doing myself, being an author. So it was very bizarre, but that was kind of the birth of my book. So I guess in a way you could say it was an outlet for my own emotions, but also to reach out to other people who have felt a similar way to how I felt.
Yeah, so take us to that moment. You were a single mother, three children, all of that. What was it that made you know something isn't right, I need help?
It wasn't really anything major. I would more describe it as a build-up. I guess you could say that I had a lot of inner healing work that I had never really dealt with. I'd never really dealt with the emotions of isolation or struggling as a mother. I kind of just pushed them to the side. So I think inevitably those emotions just built up and built up. And yes, obviously, they came out in a very drastic way. I think it was more of a build-up of everything that I hadn't dealt with prior to that, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things I get from your book is you talk about the challenges in society, that, and I said it at the top, that we keep having these labels, and that I believe that that's part of the challenge, right? And that we think that everybody else is living this incredible life, and we have these standards that are impossible, and how should our life be lived? And you talk about that. So did you feel that? Did you feel that pressure?
Yes, absolutely. So I think, as I've said before, as a mother, I feel like you can't fail. There's no room for failure. You have to be strong. You have to know it all. You have to be going in the right direction. There's no room for failure because you're obviously teaching your children how to live life, but you might not have it all together yourself. So I think that that's quite a stigmatized topic. As a parent, you're expected to have it all together. And not just that, I think by the time you get to a certain age, like I said, by 30, I still didn't really feel like I had it all together. I think the expectation of you is to know where you're going and what you're doing. It's kind of that expectation to know it all and have stability by a certain point in your life, which is unrealistic because life is ever-changing. We are ever-changing as people.
Boy, isn't that the truth. One of the things that you also talk about in your book, and it's a really powerful chapter, is the whole idea of vacant, and that the consultant is trying to decide whether your fate, basically, of leaving the hospital or not. Well, tell us more about that chapter.
Yeah, so it's kind of just addressing what mental illness can look like or what it can't look like. So obviously I'm sat there and he's trying to determine what's going on inside my mind. And it's just that kind of concept that you don't really truly know what's going on inside of someone's mind. To him, I looked vacant, but inside of my mind, it's just that constant kind of trail of thought after thought, negativity. My mind is actually very loud. And yeah, so it's just kind of that you might look at someone and think that they're okay, but what's going on in the inside could be a completely different story.
Yeah. And another thing I think that you address so well, and again, the book is The Words of the Lost Soul. We're speaking to Rudo Savage. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold, is the whole idea of healing and how do you heal? And it really is a tough process, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's not a linear process at all. You know, you have some good days, you have some bad days, but the process of healing, it's about kind of undoing all of your old thought patterns and beliefs, and that can be very, very difficult to undo what you've been taught for years and years and what you've known for years and years. So I think personally that's actually the most difficult part of healing. People sometimes think it's just about creating a new version of yourself, which maybe in ways it is, but it's also about undoing all the negative traits that you had learned prior to that.
Yeah. For you, writing the book, once you actually saw it, it's released, what was that feeling like?
It was amazing. I think I would have been happy if even one person had read it and had a good review about it. So, the fact that, you know, a lot of people did read it and reached out to me and were inspired by it, it was just, it's hard to put into words. It's quite a surreal feeling.
Yeah. And I mean, because you're shining a light on it. You're shining a light on what so often is not talked about by somebody who's walking that path. I mean, that's the thing. There are lots of books that are from doctors and people who have, you know, created charts of analysis of different people, but no two people are alike, are they?
No, they're not alike at all. Everyone's experiences and paths are all different. How we kind of deal with different things is individual. And that's what I was trying to highlight again. You know, we're all different and we see it in a negative way sometimes, but I think it's a beautiful thing. We're all made differently. And I think that we need to kind of appreciate our differences more rather than comparing ourselves to others.
Yeah, and because I think that's where so much of that pressure comes in, thinking that everybody has these magical, wonderful lives, and why me syndrome.
That's it, yes, why me, that is exactly right.
yeah, definitely. What do you hope people take away from reading The Words of the Lost Soul?
I hope that they take away that it is okay to struggle with your mental health. There's no shame in it, regardless of whatever position you're in, whether you're a mother, whether you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s, regardless of where you are in life or what you're doing, it's okay to struggle. Also, again, like I said, all life paths are different. Just because yours is different to someone else's. Again, there's no shame in that at all. Your life is still beautiful. You are still worthy. And again, pain is temporary. Even if at the time it feels like the most horrific pain that you will never recover from, I promise you will. It just takes time, motivation, and strength. And you have all of that.
Oh, I love that. And belief, right? There's so much power in believing.
There is, and I know it's easier said than done. I used to think when people would say these things to me, I would even feel irritated by them. But looking back, there's so much truth in those words.
Right, just being able to process that, being able to do that.
Yeah.
And after writing this book and talking about healing and going through, you know, very vividly what happened to you, and which I admire, that laying that out there so other people know they're not walking the path alone. When you were writing this, was it during the process? Because I know it was wonderful afterwards. Was it cathartic for you?
Yeah, so I started writing the book, or writing notes, which were made into a book, a day after I left the hospital. So it was the emotions that are being read are very raw. So I remember it was, even I would be sat there writing and crying because I was still, you know, in a lot of turmoil. So, yeah, I think that was a method that really worked for me, actually, even reading the book back and kind of just touches my soul how sad I was and how healed I've become. And again, I hope that gives the readers hope.
And this is good to tell people, like you said, the belief, the healing, the process. What do you do to keep yourself as balanced as you can?
I think routine is a big thing. I have a lot of routines with work and things I do with the children, seeing family, seeing friends, yoga, just lots of routine, lots of positivity in my life. And I think another big thing, which is reflected in the friendships I talk about in the book, is just having those close to you who, you know, just feel like sunshine to the soul. Just having those close to you who mean a lot to you, family and friends, they really help with the process more than I can even put into words.
Oh, there's the hashtag, sunshine for the soul. Absolutely. And this book is so powerful. Will you write another book?
I would love to. I would love to write another book. Probably focusing more on my healing process and what's helped, but I would really love to write another book, yes.
Does it make you feel good that you know that, hey, if you just touch one person, two people, three people, four people, that you're helping somebody else in the same journey?
Yes, yes. I mean, like I said, I was grateful to even help one person, so to help many is just beautiful. I'm so grateful.
Well, this is a terrific book, and it's a book that you should get or give to other people. Read it. The Words of the Lost Soul, Rudo Savage. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you. It's been great.
And thanks to all of you for listening to this interview and this show. Make it count, everybody.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.